And
here we go. Lord, I love you so much, and I'm so grateful, God, that you are the one that chose me even before the beginning of time. You knew exactly, Lord, all the terrible things I would do, all of my bad attitudes, and you love me anyway, and you keep on trying to draw me back to you. And if I try to stray, Lord, you keep on saying, wait, this is how far you get to go and no further. And you love me enough to keep me on a short leash sometimes. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the people that you've put in my life. I thank you for all of the individuals from the very beginning, my mom and dad and brothers and sisters that helped lead me to you and others along the way. And I thank you so much, Jesus, that you guide and direct and orchestrate every step of our lives. I pray that we won't resist you in any way, but that we will embrace you 100% and allow Holy Spirit to live through us and to shine your goodness and your glory to the world around us. Amen. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is what we've been talking about for a few weeks and will for a few more. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Isn't that, it's kind of an important one, right? And the rest of them are all encompassed in that. We talked about that where Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Well, love God, love your neighbor. If you can do that, all the rest of the commands will hang on those precepts. And then joy. Again, the concept of why do Christians always look so grumpy? We can have smiles on our faces and enjoy life, and love and joy kind of go together. If you're loving others, you've forgotten about yourself and now you're happy again. Mm-hmm. Usually when we're just not loving and we're self-centered, that's when we lose our joy. Who wants to live with just me the whole time? It's like, oh, I think I'd rather have other people around, you know? So, and then peace. That peace that surpasses understanding. It's like, I remember when I was teaching in a third grade class, and there was this pretty terrible earthquake back in 2001, and the building I was in, I wasn't sure how stable it was, and we were upstairs. And I'm looking, and the Venetian blinds were swinging out at about a 45 degree angle. And I looked around the class, and all the kids are just under tables, relaxed and having a good time. And we started singing praise songs to God while the earth was still rumbling and rolling. It was a peace that surpasses understanding. Maybe we should have been worried, but we weren't. Okay? When God's with us, He rescues us from our own problems, our own worries, and so that worked pretty well. Last week we talked about forbearance, long-suffering, or patience. It's one of those things that we really can't do without God sometimes. There's times where, you know, Lord, I can't get through this without you. But I know with you I can, and I can do it with love and joy and peace. And so that concept of forbearance. And this week, the concept of kindness. What is kindness? Well, I saw a lot of different definitions. And before you get too confused, if you're a King James person, this one was actually translated gentleness. And then later on, gentleness was translated goodness. So there's, but when you go to the Greek words, there's not an exact one-to-one correspondence from Greek to English all the time, but you kind of get the idea. This Holy Spirit fruit that we're talking about, one thing whether we describe this as gentleness or kindness, it's going to rely on God doing it. It's not something we can do in our own strength. Kindness, meeting real needs in God's way, in His timing. How many of us have been kind this week? You found a need. God pointed it out to you. You helped meet that need in real time. Real needs in God's way, in His timing. Kind of like that definition of kindness. Another one, Spirit-produced goodness. Not just goodness. You know, I know people in the world that claim that they're atheists, and they're some of the nicest, kindest, wonderful people I've ever met. Okay, so let's not think that we have some sort of a monopoly on kindness. In fact, as Christians, sometimes we struggle with this one more than others. What are a lot of Christians known for is all their judgmental attitudes and how they think that they've, you know, got the right thing to help everyone else do. Before you think that this is something that you have to live 24/7, I love reading scripture and finding out that Jesus was not always kind. Kindness is part of his character, okay? It's definitely one of his characteristics. When he goes into the temple and he sees people doing things in the temple that they shouldn't have been doing there, he sat down and took a cord and started making a whip. And then he chased everybody out of the temple with that whip. Does that sound like a kind action? When he met some religious leaders that were trying to lord it over everybody and tell everybody what they needed to do, he called them hypocrites and whitewashed sepulchers. You're like, you look nice on the outside, but you're just a tomb with dead bones inside of you. And he would rip on people for this. That doesn't sound very kind. But kindness is spirit-produced goodness, which meets the need and avoids human harshness. Now, there's time for righteous indignation and whatnot. I think we go there too quick, but there's a time for that. When I watch my Lord Jesus get angry at times, I think, yeah, okay, he knows when to get angry. I don't. I'm not very good at that. I can kind of get angry at the drop of a hat. But God knows when to and when not to. So if I can have spirit-produced goodness, then I'm not going to have to be prone to those fits of wrath that I used to have or those bouts of anger that were unnecessary. You can go to even dictionary definition. Kindness, the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Again, it's looking towards others, right? Kindness isn't something that's like, I'm going to be kind to myself. Well, that's nice. We should love ourselves. But it really is an outward thing. It's one of those things that we do for others. There's some synonyms, and there were a whole lot more than this, but warm-heartedness. You ever just kind of in your heart, you feel like, yeah, I think we can make this work. You meet somebody and they're totally messed up and you say, somehow God's directing me towards that person and I love them and I want to help them and they have real needs. And I have the ability to speak into their lives or to step up and help, whatever it is. Warm-heartedness, affection, warmth, gentleness, concern, care, a lot of others. Antonyms, the opposite meanings. Unkindness. Pretty obvious, but sometimes we miss the obvious, right? Have you ever been unkind? Has anyone ever been unkind to you? Those feelings can kind of kick in, can't they? Stinginess. Okay? If I'm holding on to everything and trying to make sure I keep mine and don't let anyone else share with me, is that kind? God's got a funny principle. One of the things that he does for us is if we're giving and we're sharing and we're doing, he will enable us to have more resources so we can give more and share more and do more. He wants to pour resources through us. The more we hold on to, the less we have. In the Old Testament, it talks a number of places about how people were trying so hard to save and hold and own and possess. And it's like their purses had holes in them and everything just kind of flittered away. It's going to leave you anyway. You don't get to keep any of it. You might as well share it while you have it. And that's just, you know, stinginess is the opposite. Generousness would be another synonym. Being generous is part of the definition. Inconsideration. Sometimes we assume inconsideration on others. If they, you know, step in front of us in a line or something, maybe they didn't see us. You know, sometimes we're invisible. But there's times where we're inconsiderate to others as well. Are we going through life just thinking about, can I get mine? Can I get to, you know, there's two pieces of cake and I really like that kind of cake, and there's a big one, and there's one that's a little smaller. And I want to be considerate, okay? And I'm concerned that someone else might be trying to lose weight, so I'm going to take the big one. Right? We always want to be considerate. Okay, maybe you want to find out what they would like, or maybe cut one of them in half, and you can share one and have another one for later, or invite a third friend, you know? There's all kinds of ways we can be considerate, but inconsideration is an antonym to kindness. Thoughtlessness. A lot of times we just do things without thinking. And that prevents us from demonstrating godly kindness. Evilness. That kind of gets to a little deeper level. Most of us don't try to go there very often. Cruelty. There's a lot of bullying that goes on in the world. It's not all just on the playground. Some of it's online. Enough said. There's a lot of verses, and I selected just a few here. Could have gone a lot of different directions. 1 Corinthians 13, that's one that we covered back a few weeks ago when we were talking about love. 1 Corinthians 13 is kind of the love chapter. It's a description of love. But as it's describing love, it says love is patient. Forbearance would have fit that last week, right? Love is kind. There's an equal formula here. It's like love, kindness. They're the same thing. When we look at this fruit of the Spirit, they really overlap a lot, don't they? If you love somebody, you're going to be kind. And then it goes on a lot more than that. Luke 6:31. Some of you would know this as the golden rule, right? Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's a way to demonstrate kindness. Just do to others as you would have them do to you. If we're thoughtful and considerate and generous, we're going to find out what other people's needs are. And we're going to make sure and help them meet those needs. And sometimes we want to do things on our own. You ever been a two-year-old or seen a two-year-old that's like, I can do it alone. You want to help them tie their shoes because you're in a hurry and you want to get some. And no, I learned how to tie my shoes and I'm going to do it myself and it could take 10 minutes. Or... But you know what? Some people want to try things on their own. Are we being kind to go in and do everything for somebody else? I think there's times where we're kind to just stand by and wait. You guys, most of you know George from across the street that used to live there. He's down in Everett now at a facility. And when I visit him, I know that there's times where I could help him get his socks on really quickly. It's not that hard. I could just get on my knees and put his socks on. But he also wants to learn how to do it himself, and he wants some independence. So I can sit patiently and wait, and if it takes 10 or 15 minutes for him to get his socks on, that's time well spent. We can talk together and love each other during that time. I don't have to help him be in a hurry. Okay? His life pace has really slowed down. Now, how many of us would like to be able to do something on our own, and somebody else is always jumping in and doing it before we can get to it, and it frustrates us? Do we know when it's time to jump in and when it's time to hold back? That's a hard thing. I taught special needs students when I was back in the dark ages, a long time ago. There were kids that had no motion in their arms or legs. And my job was to help figure out what can they do and help them do as much as they could. Now, I'd have some assistants sometimes that thought, well, they need to just take care of this, and then they're going to jump in and do it for them. It's like, no, that doesn't help. Because this 4-year-old girl is going to be a 40-year-old woman sometime. And if she can't do anything for herself, she's going to feel like a burden, and she's going to want... Forgive me for saying this, she's going to want to commit suicide. If you don't have some meaning in your life, if you don't have a reason to live, if you can't do anything on your own, it's frustrating. Jesus rescues. He'll help us with those kind of things. Holy Spirit dwelling in an individual that has special needs, and I've got to meet a lot of these kids when I was working as a teacher. They have a lot to offer and a lot to give. Sometimes the kindest thing we can do is recognize, wow, I love you because you're so real. I got to work with some children with Down syndrome. And there was this one dude, he was 19 years old, and I was working at Goodwill Industries for Tacoma Public Schools. And they were in this kind of a warehouse setting where they're doing some things, and whatever he was working on, I don't remember the exact occupational day that he was working on that day, but he's working, and everybody in this large room, there's probably 50 individuals of all age groups that are working there at Goodwill Industries trying to produce something. It was a production line of some sort. And he just yelled at the top of his lungs a cuss word, and then he went back to work. Of course, everybody else stopped. And he's working. And one of the supervisors from the floor came over to me and said, "You're going to have to take him off the floor and move him." I said, "Why?" "Well, because he's made everybody stop working." I said, "Look, he's working. They're not. Move them off the floor. I mean, and don't tell me you didn't feel like doing that same thing." Sometimes that's what life is. I'd rather somebody be real and be themselves. And I can learn from that. One little guy, he'd come in with his walker, and he had seizures a lot. He'd probably have 30, 40 seizures during the classroom, a four-hour classroom. He's walking along with his walker. He's got a helmet on, of course. Three or four steps, he'd fall over and laugh and get back up. And, you know, later on, they were minor seizures most of the time. He loved Jesus. And one of his favorite songs was Step by Step. And he'd come in there and he'd start singing, "Step by step, you lead me." You get back up, "And I will follow you all of my days." And I'm just crying watching this kid love Jesus better than I can love Jesus, and I've got legs that work. Now, I could have carried him around. He was a little guy. He enjoyed walking. Kindness. How do we show kindness? We find out what people need and real needs. You know, don't make up needs. Sometimes we can meet somebody and tell them, "Well, there's six things you really need to change about your life, Mark." And there might not be a real need today. Maybe it will be someday. Let God decide the timing and the place and the how and all of that. Kathy's glancing at her watch, knowing that there's like 25 more slides. Kindness would have been for me not to point that out. I was unkind. I apologize. Ephesians 4:32. It's a beautiful verse. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and in the middle of a lot of other things, he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So I'd like to look at that section of verses in context. Going back to Ephesians 4:25 instead of Ephesians 4:32. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor." So a lot of what we're going to see in these verses before are things that would keep us from being kind. If we have hypocrisy and falsehood in us, that's not a kind thing. Speaking truthfully to your neighbor. Now, sometimes your neighbor doesn't want to hear the truth. But the kind thing to do is find a way to speak truth to your neighbor in love. We need to speak truth to power in love as well, okay? We can find ways to let Holy Spirit guide us at the right time and the right place, and sometimes people need to hear the truth. So put off all falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And then I love this part. Are you glad that this is in Scripture? "In your anger, do not sin." It doesn't say don't be angry. Right. Another place it says be angry and sin not. Or maybe this same verse in a different translation. There's other places in Scripture that talk about God being angry. Well, I know God was sinless. Jesus gets angry. God got angry and there was a flood. You know, things happen, and anger isn't necessarily a bad emotion. What do we do with it, and can we keep it God directed? One way that we can not sin when we're angry is do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you're angry and you hold that in and you sleep on that, and the next morning you're still angry about the same thing, that's probably sin. You're harboring that, and you're going to create more and more problems in your life. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. If we stay angry, enemy can use that and get us to do things we shouldn't do. Anyone who has been stealing must stop, or must steal no longer. Stop stealing. Okay? Now, he's talking, Paul's writing to the church. He knows that there's some people in the church that maybe part of their lifestyle is to on their tax report say, that didn't really count as income. Or maybe they have office supplies that they think they would be better used at home. You know, there's a lot of different ways to steal, and we can rationalize all kinds of stuff in our heads. And Paul's just saying, hey, church people, if you're stealing, if you're in the habit of taking things that aren't yours, stop it. Don't do that anymore. But they must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Why do we need to be working? Well, part of it is, you know, we're supposed to take care of ourselves, right? Part of brotherly love is minding your own business, leading a quiet life, and working with your hands. Now, that's how we show love to one another. We take care of our own needs. Carry your own load, bear one another's burdens. That's from Galatians. How do we know what's a load and what's a burden? That's part of kindness, is figuring that out. We can find out how. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay, is it a kind thing to let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth? But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our speech should be worthwhile. It should be something that actually helps build people up, not tear people down. Kindness doesn't allow for mean talk. Got a nephew, he says that he and his friends, quote unquote, like to call each other names and swear at each other a lot. He considers that a way to demonstrate friendship. Somebody's convinced him that's what friends do. Could those friends even be better friends if they found a way to communicate without that? Might be helpful. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And again, we're talking about Holy Spirit fruit, right? Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. He's writing to the church. Get rid of all bitterness. Are there bitter people in the church? You met Jesus, you know Jesus, you love Jesus, but you hate your brother. John says in his epistles that that's probably a sign that maybe you need to spend more time with Jesus. Do you really know Jesus if you hate your brother? It might be a sign that you didn't really meet him. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. All of those unkind things. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's the kind of kindness we're supposed to have, is the godly kindness where God loved us so much that he gave his life up for us. I'm not going to give up half of my candy bar or a Twinkie for you some days, but, you know, God loves us enough to give up his life for us. And that's the kind of kindness that Holy Spirit will help us demonstrate to the world around us. And that'll help you too, you know. A lot of these things hurt us more than anybody else, right? If you're harboring bitterness and anger and you've got fits of wrath and there's all kinds of issues in your life, those people that you think you're going to get even with, they're not hurting nearly as much as you are from that. Fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I've got a closing song, and we also have communion. And I'm going to allow for communion to kind of just be a thing afterwards, if you want to dismiss yourself and chat and have coffee and whatever, or you can come up and we'll just distribute it that way. We'll do it as an optional thing today, if that's all right. Okay. Kathy, could you...